So as Pastor said, this is a little bit different message this morning. As I turned my focus this past week to what the Lord would have me share this morning, I started to hear a phrase in my spirit. It was, ask not. I just kept hearing, ask not. And initially that didn't set right with me, because the Bible says you have not because you ask not. So I started to wrestle a little bit with what I was hearing. But as I meditated a little bit further on, and I started to hear that phrase in the voice of the person who coined that phrase back in 1961. This was actually something that John F. Kennedy said during his 1961 inaugural address. I'm going to share that today. It's going to take about 7 minutes, and that's kind of what's different about today. It's rather than being wholly in the scripture, I'm going to share a speech from our 35th president of the U.S. That he did back in 1961. It's going to take about 7 minutes. As I read it, I want you to listen. As I read it, I hadn't realized that there were so many scriptural references in it. And the message itself is just one of trying to bring people together, to bring a unity into not just the nation, but really into the world. And this was at a time when Russia and the U.S. were the superpowers that were, you know, it was, people were unsure if there was going to be a war, and there were a lot of things going on. So I'm going to share it, but listen for the scriptural references, listen for the biblical principles, and then we'll talk a little bit about what I think the Holy Spirit is saying to us today. All right, so I'm going to start off. It says this: we observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet, the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans. Born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to ensure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in the host of cooperative adventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our view, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom. And to remember that in the past, those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and villages across the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves for whatever period is required. Not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. To our sister republic south of the border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds. In a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all our neighbors know that we shall join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. and let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. To that world assembly of sovereign states, the United Nations, our last best hope in an age where the instruments of war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, we renew our pledge of support. To prevent it from becoming merely a form for invective, to strengthen its shield of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which its writ may run. Finally, to those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge but a request that both sides begin anew the quest for peace. Before the dark powers of destruction unleashed by science engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction. We dare not tempt them with weakness, for only when our arms are sufficient beyond doubt can we be certain beyond doubt that they will never be employed. But neither can two great and powerful groups of nations take comfort from our present course. Both sides overburdened by the cost of modern weapons, both rightly alarmed by the steady spread of the deadly atom, yet both racing to alter that uncertain balance of terror that stays the hand of mankind's final war. So let us begin anew, remembering on both sides that civility is not a sign of weakness, and sincerity is always subject to proof. Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate. Let both sides explore what problems unite us instead of belaboring those problems which divide us. Let both sides for the first time formulate serious and precious proposals for the inspection and control of arms, and bring the absolute power to destroy other nations under the absolute control of all nations. Let both sides seek to invoke the wonders of science instead of its terrors. Together, let us explore the stars, conquer the deserts, eradicate disease, tap the ocean depths, and encourage the arts and commerce. Let both sides unite to heed in all corners of the earth the command of Isaiah, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free. If a beachhead of cooperation may push back the jungle of suspicion, let both sides join in creating a new endeavor, not a new balance of power, but a new world of law, where the strong are just and the weak secure and the peace preserved. All this will not be finished in the first 100 days, nor will it be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet, but let us begin. In your hands, my fellow citizens, more than in mine, will rest the final success or failure of our course. Since this country was founded, each generation of Americans has been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty. The graves of young Americans who answered the call to service surround the globe. Now the trumpet summons us again, not as a call to bear arms, though arms we need, not as a call to battle, though embattled we are, but a call to bear the burden of a long twilight struggle, year in and year out, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself. Can we forge against these enemies a grand and global alliance, north and south, east and west, that can assure a more fruitful life for all mankind? Will you join in that historic effort? In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it, and the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us the same high standards of strength and sacrifice we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, and with history, the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. How many would say amen? My goodness, that was a speech from John F. Kennedy in 1961. Can you see what he's trying to do there? He's trying to paint a vision, and he's trying to point everybody towards that vision. What's the vision? Freedom. Liberty. When the speech was written again, there was a threat of war between the two superpowers, And he was making a plea to even Russia, saying, let's join together. Let's not create weapons of mass destruction that are not under the control of all of the nations that would be devastated by those weapons. I mean, can you see the wisdom? You know, we know that the Bible is the inspired word of God. That's for sure, right? But I will tell you that over the years, I have read things like the Constitution of the United States. Even this right here, I felt the hand of God in the message. And so we're just going to talk about what do we think this means for us. I mean, he spoke it to me last week. He guided me to this message, gave me some insights. But here's the message. This is the word that stuck out more than anything else. Ask not. So as I focused on that, this is what I heard. Ask not what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church. And I thought about that, and I meditated on it, and I thought, I've heard this before. But you know, I started to see the wisdom and what he was trying to accomplish here. Think about what that means. When you take, let's say there's 40 people here today, 40 people with 40 different opinions about how the church should operate, with 40 different needs within themselves and within family, maybe another hundreds of needs, and everybody wants to have their needs met. And I'm not saying that's this whole church today. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that when it comes to functioning as a body, this church, as well as any other church, can go a long way in terms of functioning as one body. But it takes those people in the church, like he was trying to take the people of the world, and turn their focus off of themselves and turn it onto the mission. Isaiah, what he referenced in Isaiah, is actually part of the mission of this house. Isaiah 61. You can read that on your own. But can you see the wisdom? Can you see the application even in the church today? And it's not just for this church, it's for all churches. Instead of focusing on the things that separate us, let's focus on the things that align us. Not just as different churches, but even just within this group of people here in the church today. There is an evil. He was talking about evil. He was talking about, at this point he was kind of referencing Russia and all of those things that oppose the liberty of man. But there is no negotiating with the evil that we face, is there? There's no negotiation. The enemy wants to drag us down. And divided, he can easily drag us down, but together, he doesn't have a chance, especially when we're joined with the Lord. So let me just start off with some scriptures. Romans 12, 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I love some versions actually say, master evil with good. You know, when you don't repay evil for evil, when you choose to forgive somebody who has harmed you, when you choose not to take an offense, you know, that's mastering evil. You know, mastering evil, you can do that. Did you realize it? You can be the master over evil. It doesn't have to control you. It doesn't have to oppress you. It doesn't have to have any influence in your life whatsoever if you choose not to be a vessel for that evil. So really the call today is for everyone in this church to ask not what this church can do for you, but ask what you can do for this church. Not just this church, but the vision and the mission of this house. He mentions if united, we could accomplish much, but if not united, there was not much we could accomplish. Matthew 12:25, it says, and knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. Are we aligned within this church? You might say we're aligned. We have the same basic belief. We believe that Jesus died on the cross, believe that he reconciled us to the Father so that we can come into the throne room boldly. We can believe that. But what about the mission of this house? What about your participation in the mission of this house? When it says, ask not what your church can do for you, ask what you can do, there's a call to every single one that calls this church home to participate in any way in what the church is trying to accomplish. There's a lot we could do in terms of aligning even within ourselves. And when our focus is not on ourselves, but our focus is on the mission of the house, just think about how quickly our focus shifts from ourselves to what it is that God's trying to accomplish. And if you call this house your house, if you know that God has led you here, then what he has for you in your life will line up with the mission and the vision of this house. It won't seem contrary. It won't be contrary. It'll be exactly what you should be doing here, right now. So don't be afraid to ask. At one point he says, the world is very different now. How many times have we heard ourselves say, the world is very different now? Well, guess what? The world is always going to be very different. So that shouldn't be our focus. We should focus on the one that never changes. There is no shifting shadow. We should be focusing on him because it is going to be a whirlwind around us. There's going to be all kinds of things like Peter stepping out of the boat that are going to be looking to take our attention off of the one we should be focusing on. And that takes practice. You have to practice to keep your focus on him. How many know it's easy to do in church, it's easy to do in your prayer time, but as soon as you walk out the door and life starts to just happen, your autopilot mode is not to stay there. Your autopilot mode is to drift off and get caught up in the things of the world. And so it takes practice. It takes time. The world is very different now. I thought it was interesting when I read that because we've been saying it for, well, forever, I think, especially over the last couple of years. Ask not. Think about how the natural body works. If we're aligned and we're all focusing on what God has for us to do here in this place, aligned with the mission and vision, we're focused, we're all of the same mind, the body is all moving in the right direction. But let's think about how the body works. What if you woke up this morning and your foot said, I'm taking a break today? What if your hand said, you know what, I'd rather be a foot? What if your heart said, I need a mental health day? What if part of your body decided it just didn't want to be a part of the body today? You'd know it, wouldn't you? If your heart decided to take a mental health day, you'd be done. The rest of the body would be done. No matter how rigorously they wanted to keep moving forward, they're done, right? So if you're here and this is your house, you're a part of that body. I don't know what part. You need to ask God what part you are. I don't know what your role is, but you need to ask God what your role is. It's interesting that this happens right now because, you know, we're coming into a time of fasting and prayer, and I'll get to that. Let's get back to the body for a second. 1 Corinthians 12:21 says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. So, Ed, you can't say to Richie, I don't need you. Richie, you can't say to Katrina, I don't need you. If you look around the church, you're going to see, hey, you know what? This person just doesn't really connect with that person. This person looks very different from that person. But you know what? In the spirit, we are all supposed to be connected. Somehow, some way. That's how his body works. That's why we're called the body of Christ. So what's your role? We need each other. We need each other. Somebody said today, we're a family. It's true, we're a family, but more than a family. We're joined in the spirit for a bigger purpose than just ourselves. And again, this church, going into 2023, I'm going to encourage you to ask the Lord during that time of fasting and prayer, what's my role, Lord? What should I be doing? Now, many of you are already functioning. Many of you are already doing something. But it's okay to ask, am I doing what you want me to do, Lord? Sometimes we can serve and it meets a need in us. And it's not necessarily the need of the church, but it's a need in us. So it's okay if you're, even if you're serving, to say, is this still my role? And so you can get confirmation. But maybe the Lord will speak something completely different. Maybe you've been a foot for the last 3 years because the church needed a foot, but you're supposed to be a hand. I don't know. God can give you confirmation that you're doing the right thing. God can give you direction that you should be doing something specific or something else. So I don't think it's, I think it's interesting. Yes, we're entering into our fasting and prayer time. I know that people are going to have all kinds of things that they're going to be seeking and asking for during that time, and that's okay. That's what it's for. But I would encourage you to make a special petition and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my role at Freedom Worship Center? What should I be doing? You know, when I came here, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but there's a principle. You know, if you want to be raised up, you know, the Bible says don't despise the small beginnings. So there was some very small beginnings for me. I don't clean the toilets at home, but the Holy Spirit said, I want you to clean the toilets. So I spent a season cleaning the toilets. And it was nasty. I just had to praise and sing to the Lord as I was cleaning the toilets so I didn't see what I was seeing. I put shelves up in the closet because Bunny, how many remember Bunny? Mother of the house back for a season. Bunny said, I need some shelves in the closet. All right, I'll put some shelves in the closet. Some of you guys have gotten words. Maybe the word they gave wasn't leadership, but if you listen to the words that you were given, there's a leadership function in there. Every single one of us has some form of leadership built into us. So don't be afraid to ask. How many know? Sometimes we don't ask because we really don't want to hear the answer. Isn't that true? Don't be afraid to ask. I used to be afraid to ask. But this is how I ask. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would connect me with my mission, knowing full well, Lord, that you know I'm a father, you know I'm a husband, and that what you have for me to do will not cause me to shirk my responsibilities to my wife and my kids and my house. He will never do that. And as long as you trust that he'll take care of you, you can be free to ask that question. And you can be free to pursue the things that he calls for you to do. So what I'm going to ask is that during that time of fasting and prayer, ask. Don't be afraid. Exercise your faith to believe that he's going to give you the answer and that there will be no conflict. There may be a conflict with the flesh. Expect that. But it won't be a conflict with your wife. It won't be a conflict with your kids. It won't be a conflict with the things that we have to be faithful stewards of. So ask the question, and then I would ask that when you get the answer, not if, but when, that you just ask to sit down and talk about it with the elders, the pastor. Just sit down and talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation and just kind of work on it together. Sometimes you need to bounce something off somebody else to form it properly in yourself. So let's do that. Let's be that for each other. Reach out to somebody else. Sit and talk with a friend and just say, hey, you know what? Here's what I think the Lord is saying. Will you agree to do that? You know, the church it has the full spectrum of people in it, right? There's the people that are in a season of just needing brothers and sisters to come alongside of them. And then there are the brothers and sisters who are have the testimonies and are in a place where they can come alongside those people. So just know that God knows exactly where you're at. If you're in that place where you have a need, then God's going to use you to cause other people to exercise their faith, to pray for you, to exercise some ministry. And if you're in that place where you're the one serving, then God's going to do something in that as well. God is the ultimate multitasker. He can be doing something through you to somebody else, and you get the benefit far beyond the person that you reached out to help. That's just God's economy. It's the way he works. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves." That's going to be one of the keys to making yourself available to someone else. Consider that person as more important than yourself. Consider that person as more important than your comfort, than your time. You know, the Lord spoke to me years ago and he said, "I don't want you to be an owner of the things I've given you. I want you to be a manager of the things I've given you." That was a whole different perspective. You know, my truck is not my truck. My truck is a truck that is to be shared and used. And my time is not my time. It's something that should be shared and used for his purpose. Don't be an owner of the things that God has given you, because when those things are taken away, maybe even for something better, we're going to go kicking and screaming. But if we're just a manager of the things that God gave us, that's a whole different perspective. Then you're not really clinging on to anything. You're willing to do whatever it is that God asks you to do with whatever it is that he's given you to do it with. Amen? So JFK also mentioned in that speech, turning our good words into good deeds. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we're at. This is where the church has been. The time is coming and now is and has been that we need to be turning our good words into good deeds. And as we start to function as the body and we start to take the steps in doing the things that he's called us to do here, that's exactly what it means. A couple of scriptures there. Titus 3:14 says, "Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful." Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." So that's part of what I'm trying to do here this morning, is stimulate you to love and good deeds. And then the last comment, I love this one. That's my favorite one. Asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must be our own. How should we be found as we are working to accomplish all these things? I believe part of it is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." And then Romans 12:12, "We should be rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted to prayer." Will anyone say amen this morning? So that's what I had to say. The biggest thing, the one thing, the phrase that I kept hearing, and it is for us, it's every single one of us that is in the hearing of my voice, ask not what this church can do for you. Ask what you can do for this church. Because unless we go forward truly united, of the same mind, of the same spirit, for the same purpose, you know what? When something happens, it's going to crumble. You know, we're not as unified as we want to be. We're not as unified even as we think we are. You know, when we do this fellowship downstairs, there's a much bigger purpose in it. It's for people to come down and through relationship, and sometimes it's even just a quick conversation with somebody that you have never spoken to. They sit on that side, you sit on that side. One quick conversation can unite two hearts together. That's how he works. He's awesome that way. And in many other ways. And so I would encourage you, come on down. Maybe look around and see somebody that you haven't spoken to and just reach out and just start up a quick conversation. But that's the fellowship. That's why we do it. We want relationship. You know, and my hope going forward as we've come out of this big, you know, 2-year separation, that you know, as we get into even some of the nicer weather, we can start doing more things together outside. But really looking to spend more time together, not more time apart, more time together. That's what's going to help facilitate this church going forward and being able to withstand the enemy, who there is no negotiation with. God has given us the direction and the guidance on what we need to do today to be ready for a new season. We talked, heard about the new this morning. Well, that new, it doesn't just happen. Now, he can do things sovereignly, but he can do it, and we'll miss out on the whole thing because we're not aligned. Let's be aligned. Let's be a part of that new. Let's decide once and for all today that we're stepping out of our comfort zone. That comfort zone has been a place of bondage, right, and chains. Enough of that. Put yourself out of your comfort zone. Take the little steps. Just speak to somebody you don't normally speak to. That's a baby step. That's a start. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord, for your continued patience with us, your guidance. Oh, Lord, what would we do if you weren't speaking to us afresh today? Where would we be, Lord, if you turned your back on us? Where would we be, Lord? You are the only hope that doesn't disappoint. You are an ever-present help in time of need, and you have been. But, Lord, today, let us shift our focus off of ourselves and onto you and onto this church and onto what it is that we are supposed to accomplish together. Help us, Lord. Oh, that's all we can say, Lord, is help us. Without your help, there is no hope. But with your help, we can accomplish all things. And so, Father, we just bless you today. Lord, I pray that you just continue to drive this deeper into everyone's spirit as we move closer to that 21 days of prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just want to praise you this morning. Hallelujah. You are good, Lord. You are good, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Come on, raise your voices. Let's thank the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let this be the lifestyle of the redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Who was that guy?